Today I get the pleasure of introducing to you our preacher for the morning. Rick Burton is going to bring us God's Word. I'm going to invite Rick to come on up at this time, and I hope most of you have met Rick and Beth and Isaac and Rebecca as they have celebrated 1 year here at HFM on Mother's Day. That was your 1 year anniversary with us, and Rick has been a pastor, a teacher, and a servant of the Lord in many, many capacities, and I am so thankful for his service with the youth group and in other ways here in this past year, and now he's going to be bringing us God's Word. So let's turn our attention, Rick. You. And the floor is a little sticky. We painted this just yesterday, but hopefully we're not tracking it anywhere.
Well, good morning. You know, they're talking about this this whole pandemic as the new normal, and it's kind of interesting. Like, our country's gone through a bunch of new normals. When you think about 9/11, when you think about World War II, the Great Depression, Civil War, those are new normals. But I would say the greatest new normal when it came to Christianity in this country was in the early 1700s. And you guys probably don't know all that much about the early 1700s in the 13 colonies, but a lot of people were coming to the 13 colonies. There was a lot of wealth to be made, but there was also a lot of spiritual problems going on. Very few people went to church. In fact, on a Sunday morning, you might find maybe about 20% of the people in the 13 colonies actually at church. There were things that happened, though. There was piracy, and people were all worried about traveling on the seas. There was this big pandemic that happened. There was a smallpox where all kinds of people were dying, and there were, like, the whole native tribes were wiped out by the smallpox. Does that sound like familiar right now? Religious leaders were very concerned, especially since over in England there was a revival that was going on. And one of the guys that was leading the revival in England decided, you know what? I'm going to go over to the colonies and I'm going to go over and preach there. And his name was George Whitefield. And George came over and he started preaching to people and he started drawing crowds, and the crowds got bigger and bigger. In fact, up to 30,000 people were at his revival meetings. 30,000 people without a microphone. It was just amazing. He started preaching and other preachers took up the call as well. Jonathan Edwards, William Tennant, they also preached to thousands more. This revival was called the Great Awakening. And it changed our country forever. And churches were planted, and other people got into the ministry. People like Dwight Moody, John Wesley, David Brainerd, Gilbert Tennant, Noah Webster, and others. And then it affected people all around this nation. People like John and Samuel Adams, Benjamin Franklin, George Washington. And they started this movement where we need to be free, we need liberty, and it started this new country. And the Bible tells us a story of another revival that broke out because of a certain king. And he's my favorite king, and I just love the story of this guy. His name was King Josiah. And I believe he was the greatest king of Israel, and you might say maybe David, but I think Josiah was even better than David. But a lot of people don't really know all that much about him. Okay, his story is in 2 Chronicles and also in 2 Kings. 2 Chronicles 34:1-7. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in the ways of David his father. He did not turn aside from the right hand or the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet a boy, he began to seek the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the Asherim, and the carved and metal images. And they chopped down the altars of Baal in his presence. And he cut down the incense altars that stood above them. And he broke the pieces of Asherim and the carved and metal images. He made dust of them and scattered them over the graves of those who sacrificed to them. He also burned the bones of the priests on their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, as far as Naphtali, in their ruins all around, he broke down the altars and beat the Asherim and the images into powder. And he cut the incense altars throughout the land of Israel. And then he returned to Jerusalem. If that's all that Josiah had done in his lifetime as king, he would have been a great king. But he did a lot more. He didn't just rid Judah of its idols. He also went over to Israel. Yes, Israel, where there was only a remnant of people because they had been defeated, killed, or taken into captivity into Syria. Josiah was only 8 years old when he became king. 8 years later, at the age of 16, observers knew that there was no doubt that this guy was following after God. When he was only 20, he began his assaults on the idolatry in his country. And at the age of 26, he finished his work of ridding Judah and Israel of idolatry and worshiping the true God. What can we learn from King Josiah? First, revival can start with young people. There were probably people around Josiah that were encouraging him in his life. They were pouring into him saying, "You're only 8 years old. You could do mighty things." And we have young people all around here. And fathers, mothers, grandparents, pour into them. Tell them that they can do mighty things even at a young age. Examples of young people in the Bible who made a difference were Daniel and his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, David, Joseph, Timothy, Titus. Young people need to know that there's peer pressure, not just peer pressure to do bad, but also peer pressure to do good. You can lead your friends to be doing good. Some people blame their behavior and their problems on their family. Josiah didn't do that. His grandpa, Manasseh, was one of the worst kings in all of Judah's history. His dad was so bad that the officials in Judah went and killed him because he was so bad. And then they said, okay, let's have Josiah, his son, become the king. He quickly decided that the most important role of the king was to lead the people in their spiritual life. He trashed all the idols around Judah, and he went to Israel and trashed the idols there too. And then he decided, you know what, we need to fix this temple. And he had a work project that started to fix the temple. By age 16, he had made a difference in Israel. And I'm sure the people of Israel were excited that this young man wanted people to follow after God. Number two, revival can start when we are moved by the word of God. 2 Chronicles 34, 14 and 15, and then also 18 to 21. It says, while they were bringing out the money that had been brought to the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law given through Moses. Then Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. Then I skip to verse 18. Then Shaphan the secretary told the king, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read from it before the king. And when the king heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah, Akim, son of Shaphan, Abdam, son of Micah, Shaphan the secretary, and Asa, the king's servant, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me, for those who are left in Israel and Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us because of our fathers have not kept these words. Do according and have done according to all that is written in this book. The book they probably found was the book of Deuteronomy. And Josiah knew what was written in it had not been obeyed by many of the kings of Judah and none of the kings of Israel. He also knew that God's laws were not being carried out among his people. His response was to tear his robes, an expression of grief, and he realized that God should carry out his judgment on Judah. Then he sent his officials over to the prophetess Huldah to ask what was going to happen. And here was where her response in 2 Chronicles 34:27. She said, "Because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and against its inhabitants, and you humbled yourself before me and you've torn your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you." Revival starts when we hear the word of God and we let it convict our soul. Josiah set about trying to do what was right, trying to make amends for all the wrongs that have been done. Does the word of God convict you? Is there something in your life that, as you read it, that needs to be changed? When you read the word of God, are you letting it change your life? Or are you even reading the word of God? Maybe that should be a decision that you make today, to start reading the word of God, to letting it change your life. Josiah was confronted with the word of God, and it changed him. If we do not have the Bible as our authority for what we do here in worship and in moral behavior, for what we teach and for everything that we say and do, then we aren't living the way that God wants us to live. My third point is revival can restore our relationship with God. We already said that Josiah set out to destroy idolatry and to restore true worship. One of the things he did after this was he said, "We need to teach the people." And he had a whole bunch of teachers and he sent them all around Judah and all around Israel to go and teach people the word of the Lord. He was determined not just to follow God's laws, but to teach his people to obey God's laws. The discovery of the book of the temple further encouraged his zeal. We cannot be content if we love God and his word. It demands more. Love demands doing what God wants us to do. Jesus said in John 4:23-24, "But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." God is pleased when we worship in the spirit and in truth. Revival leads us to reading God's word, worshiping with others, and taking care of other people, and to help them to know about God, creating disciples. My fourth point is revival can set true religion in place. Josiah spent 6 years ridding Israel of idolatry. And then after he read the book of the law to the people, they publicly committed themselves to keeping their commandments. If true religion is to be restored, false religion must be confronted. Josiah continued the religious reforms. He reinstituted the Passover. And when I read this passage, I'm like, really? They didn't have Passover before Josiah? And I looked at it and I'm like, wow. If you look at 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, they didn't celebrate Passover at all. Here's what it says in 2 Kings 23:22-25. "For no such Passover had been kept since the days of the judges who judged Israel, or during all the days of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. But in the 18th year, King Josiah, this Passover was kept to the Lord in Jerusalem. Moreover, Josiah put away the mediums and necromancers and the household gods and the idols and all the abominations that were seen in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, that he might establish the words of the law that were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. Before him, there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his might, according to the law of Moses, nor did anyone arise like him after." So we can see that Josiah was totally dedicated to the Lord. But so what happened with this revival? What came from it? Well, Josiah didn't really live all that much longer. He died in war at the age of 39. His son took over, only lasted 3 months before He was defeated and taken away, and then his other son was came, and Babylon came and attacked, and pretty much Judah was done. But God's judgment had finally come, but it wasn't during the time of Josiah. However, some great young people had been affected by this revival. And it was very, very, very important, because this was the time that they needed to be strong. Because as they were taken off into captivity in Babylon, they needed to be strong. Who are some of these people that were taken away? Ezekiel, who became a prophet. God made him do some really, really strange things. But he told the people, this will only last for 70 years. And he was the person that the people knew were being encouraged by, because he was such a great prophet. Then there was Daniel, a young man who refused to do what the Babylonians asked him to do because of his commitment to God. And also his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When you think of Daniel, you think of him being able to interpret the dreams of the king, of him being become the head of one of the top people in Babylon, and then him praying three times daily, and then being arrested and thrown into the lions, and then being again brought to become the second in all the land for the Persians. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these young guys, they refused to bow down when they said, bow to this golden image. They refused to bow down, and they were thrown into a fiery furnace, but God saved them. Then it also led to people like Kish, who was so strong in his faith that he taught his son Jer, who taught his son Mordecai. And Mordecai continued to follow after God, even when an official would walk by and say, you need to bow down to me. He goes, I only bow down to God. And he raised his cousin Esther. And she also learned about God from Mordecai, so that when the time came to save her people, she was able to stand firm. The exile lasted 70 years, and the people studied the word of God. They looked forward to the time that they could go back, and God raised up Nehemiah and Ezra to lead the people back. When they came back to Judah, they rebuilt the temple, they rebuilt Jerusalem, they kept doing the Passover, and this led to a whole 500-year dedication of people following after the Lord. There were groups that were formed that were like totally dedicated to following after God, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Zealots. I mean, by the time they got to Jesus, they weren't as good as they did when they started out, but they were trying to do what was right in God's eyes. And into this world that was dedicated to following after God, God sent his son, Jesus. It started with one man who tenderly responded to the word of God and dedicated to following after God and to helping others to learn about God's word and to study God's word. It doesn't matter what your age is. What matters is, are you dedicated to God? Our society right now is being rebuilt. Can we build it on the word of God, and can we build it on sharing the word of God with others? We don't know what's going to happen in the future, but we need to leave a legacy for our children. We need to have leaders rise up and challenge the people of this nation. Who knew that Josiah would die at 39 and not be heard from again? Who knew that Daniel, as a young man, was taken to Babylon, and yet he stayed even after the remnant went back to Israel? He stayed even into his 90s. They both lived their lives in obedience to God. Do we want revival? Are we ready to get serious for God? Let's follow Josiah's example and be obedient to the word of God.